This is the Saxo Market Call, the daily financial markets podcast, across asset classes and around the world.
Hello and welcome to the Saxo Market Call. It's Tuesday, 16th of May, 2023, and Peter just provided me the title for today's podcast, which is Maximum Confusion, maybe better than my Equities Stuck in a Rut title I have there on slide two. Really remarkable constricted range we've been trading in, less than sort of a percentage point from the midline of the last, I can't remember if it's six or eight trading sessions. Here in the S&P 500, just really stuck, even though the NASDAQ dribbling higher a bit. Feels like the market, we've looked at things like inflation expectations. You look at the forward Fed expectations. Just the market seems convinced that we're heading sort of down down some kind of hole here. Growth outlook-wise to a degree, but also certainly in inflation terms, but not getting and then, of course, that's not exciting animal spirits to rally. But I suppose the offset being with rates tamed, we're not worried about the Fed providing a pushback in terms of rate tightening. So, just really stuck, and we're also waiting for this debt ceiling situation to sort itself out. I have a few thoughts on that. But Peter, what are you seeing here in this market besides maximum confusion?
We are. I mean, we're seeing a market that is, as you said, it's very compressed. On the one hand, the equity market is expressing a more upbeat outlook. The fixed income market has a different vibe to it right now. You have Bostic coming out yesterday. He's not a voting FOMC member, but he's influential in those circles. He's saying, I'm not even contemplating cutting interest rates before the second half of 2024. Yeah, you heard me correctly, 24. Yeah,
where the market is priced at like 3%.
Exactly. So, and then you have Michael Burry suddenly going out, I'll double up on his bets on Alibaba and I can't remember the other company, JD.com in China. And then you have Tudor Jones, you have Druckenmiller. So it's just, you're just seeing this massive diversion in different expressions and opinions about the market. It's fascinating.
What you just said about Druckenmiller and Tudor Jones, quickly, two legendary investors, arguably from a different era, but they're certainly still worth listening for. Druckenmiller saying we're a recession incoming this quarter, and Tudor Jones saying we're about, I won't do this as Tennessee accent attempt, but we're about similar to where we were in mid-2006, which means, okay, yeah, that was the point of, it was clear that we were in maximum yield curve inversion at that time, and that meant supposedly some forward trouble, but it took an awful long time for that trouble to develop from mid-2006 until the troubles, of course, way out into late 2007, or mid-2007, arguably the first stumbles. I'm going on a bit too long point, but you're right. It's just we're all over the place in dispersion of expectations and thoughts about what's going on here.
Exactly, and you see it internally also in the corporate sector in the equity market. You have specific parts of the equity market and the corporate sector that is feeling the pressure, and then others that are completely booming. So again, a lot of confusion, and different countries are also being impacted very differently to the very strong dollar, the interest rate shock we have had. It's so uneven across the spectrum. Anyway, also just very quickly on the slide two, you put in the global industry group's performance there. We basically on a daily basis, we're flipping between cyclicals driving the market action and being leading the declines. And yesterday we actually had, that's actually what we're going to show on the next slide, on slide three, despite a horrible Empire State Manufacturing print, that's a survey, and for May, so one of the first indications on at least this part of this region of the U.S., which is the state of New York. Terrible reading there. You can see this as a monthly chart going back 20 years. I've put in a little insert there because showing the financial conditions, the adjusted financial conditions from the Chicago Fed. They adjusted because it's adjusted relative to the strength of the economy. And you can see here the financial conditions have actually eased for many weeks now. So that is a little bit at odds with what we're seeing in some of the surveys. And again, it's adding to this confusion. And I have some reports as well on when we talk about equities and single stocks news, which is adding to this confusion, John.
Yeah, well, that specific survey is a real pain because, again, we saw the shocking positive number the prior month and then going back and basically posting the matching more or less the lows ever. Taking out those one or two key pandemic months, so yeah, just one of those things. And the other regional surveys last week were quite weak, and we have those coming in coming days. Some interesting economic data out this morning. Just wanted to flag it. The UK data is always released quite early, And so we saw the both the claimant count, so-called monthly, for April coming in at plus 46.7K. You can see this on slide four. That's the highest since early 2021, when the figures were extremely volatile, still absorbing the pandemic impact, and much higher than was expected and higher in the prior month. So suggests that there are people losing their jobs at a level there at 46K. As you can see, it's above the range from pre-pandemic levels. And then the bigger shocker was this PAYE, the payrolled employees monthly change. So basically some approximate equivalent to non-farm payrolls, dropping 136K on the month. We haven't seen a data point like this except for, again, those key pandemic months. We need to look into this. The market is pretty underwhelming in terms of its reaction. It did get marked down quite sharply. But this really needs to burrow in here and see what's going on, because we saw 2-year rates marked down as much as 10 basis points, but the sterling has rebounded quite smartly. It's actually trading slightly above 125 after visiting sub 124.70 levels, if I recall, earlier this morning, and trading 125, maybe 20-30 pips higher than where it is right now at the start of the morning.
Yeah, one thing to observe, of course, is that if you look at the earnings, so the way the wages are progressing in the UK, it's just sub of 7% compared to a year ago. So one of the things to consider as well when you look at these numbers is that if the reduction or the number of people that are losing their job in percentage terms, is less than, of course, what the impact from those 7% wage increase. What would happen if you're a company is that, okay, I have to raise my salaries by 7%. I'll cut a couple of percent of my employees so to offset that increase in the cost base a little bit. So it's obviously bad. So if when you multiply the numbers, actually the impulse into the economy in terms of the wages and the income that is flowing into the economy could actually still go up despite you seeing an increase in those people, unfortunately, that are getting laid off and going on claims. And the government, because of the way the system here in Europe works with very favorable transfers, but if you get unemployed, so that also adds a little bit of income. I'm just saying that it's very difficult. My main point is just that this period here with inflation and these very high wages makes it very difficult. You can at least interpret these things in very different ways if you sort of follow my gist here, John, and where I want to go with it.
Yeah, some great points there. But again, this is one data point, and especially that payrolls one was showing zero, very few signs of trouble, just sort of normalizing back to historic ranges after the crazy dump and then pump back to almost record levels of re-employing people from the post-pandemic period. So, yeah, just something to flag. And it does look like the market is taking this in stride to a degree, having pretty much recovered from its losses, at least in terms of sterling. But it's still a pretty ugly chart there, as you can see on slide five. So we're in the shadow of a pretty steep sell-off there from the 126.50 plus area all the way down to 124.50 area, which is the key sort of support. So I'm on watch here for a capitulation lower. I think that would require something to trigger across a bit more across global markets. We've talked about being stuck in a rut or maximum confusion. I think we need to see the market taking a position along animal spirit lines before we get a next significant move that we can hang our hat on. Other thing I wanted to point out in the FX board on slide five is just look at that remarkable retreat in the euro. It's pretty much normalized back from an extreme long bout of very aggravated strength, as you can see over the FX board trending readings since a month ago. And maximum confusion, if you look across the FX space, it's rare to see all the readings, so the most pointed reading being minus 1.7 for the euro. No readings above 2, which is arguably minimal for some kind of trending behavior on our scale. Peter, stocks to watch today, and I just wanted to note on the stocks to watch. I just saw this flagged on a morning report. Druckenmiller adding to his Nvidia and Microsoft stakes, according to 13F filings for his family office, obviously a bet on artificial intelligence. And it also mentioned that Appaloosa's management's, or if it's management, I'm not sure, David Tepper, a massive billionaire, also adding to NVIDIA and even Arc Innovation. I thought that was an interesting name to see somebody of his stature adding to his in the 13F reports. But what else are you looking at in your stocks to watch today?
I would expect the Arc Innovation Fund to be a tactical play he's probably speculating on this flows and speculating on this fever that people are still moving into this. And as I said, and we had a little bit discussion in one of our macro calls, John, I think actually Alphabet and Google is the better play on AI, but it's very much my opinion. I think that I'm beginning to lean a little bit that we're going to extrapolate too fast the benefits from these chatbots and how much they will actually generate. But there's a lot of excitement right now, and right now it's interesting. There are like three camps to some extent. Those that think that this will just accelerate, it will snowball, just be better and better and better, the greatest thing ever for the human civilization. They're the ones that are almost getting depressed about, you know, this could set off a catastrophe for civilization, almost the end of it. And then there's a third camp that is beginning to grow in terms of the voices being heard. I can see on the social media, and that is that this potentially maybe it's a big nothing burger. So let's see how this progresses.
Your English is getting far too good when you're talking about nothing burgers, Peter. So
thank you very much.
Kudos on that one.
Thank you. Okay, but let's dwell into the stocks to watch today, because Microsoft, as you mentioned, definitely grabbing the headlines. So if you remember back a couple of weeks on this podcast, we highlighted that the UK antitrust regulators, they disapproved of the acquisition of Activision Blizzard. They said that it would limit competition, etc. And then this morning, the EU is coming out with their verdict, and they are approving and in an absolute opposite conclusions of what the UK got to. The EU is actually saying they see this as an excellent opportunity to increase competition in cloud-based gaming industry. I think it's fascinating. How can you come to such a different conclusion? In any case, I've put in here on slide 6, you can see the deal price is $95 per share, and you can see Activision Blizzard where it traded yesterday. So there's a 22% premium to be grabbed there if this means that the probability of this deal goes through. If we look at how the different stock prices reacted the last time, this surely could mean that Microsoft shares will be down today and Activision Blizzard's significantly higher. The market is still of the opinion that Microsoft is bidding too high for this company. Vodafone, very small news, but a big company in the UK, they are reducing they're putting out a plan to reduce their employees by 11,000 over 3 years. I said to you, John, I mean, this world is so chaotic and changing so fast that trying to plan a reduction over a three-year period, I mean, the whole world could be changed inside the next 12 months. So I actually laugh a little bit over these plans, and otherwise, you know, the results for Vodafone are pretty much in line with the estimates.
Well, it could be something to do with some process they set in motion to automate some procedures or something. Maybe with AI that's not yet ready to be implemented, but they anticipate it could be over that time scale. Just a thought. Just like as I mentioned earlier, I saw a report talking about EVs. Their production, because EVs are so much simpler in terms of the machined parts and moving parts, that it's required something like 30% less labor intensive than an internal combustion engine car. So I don't know.
Yeah,
but maybe we need to delve deeper into the story. But it is an interesting way to roll out an announcement.
Yeah, I think it's very good points there actually, and I hadn't thought about that. Nubank. So Nubank is this very fast-growing online bank out of Brazil. They are powering into Mexico, Colombia. I think they recently opened in Colombia and got 500,000 customers in the first couple of weeks, I think, of their entry there. It was recently IPO'd, I think, a year ago, and it has Berkshire Hathaway as one of its larger shareholders. They bought into it on the IPO, actually, where very unusual for this investment company. It's not Warren Buffett that is driving this investment. It's one of his lieutenants. If you can see here, the Q1 total revenue beat estimates and doubling from a year ago. But on the negative side, their delinquencies on the loans with 15 to 90 days due rose to 4.4% from 3.7%. This is an indication, I think, that financial conditions are actually tightening for the I would say the lower half of the population in Brazil. So this is definitely something to watch. And also deposits came in a little bit lower than expected, and potentially suggesting that the general population got a little bit more wary about putting their deposits with a flashy online bank compared to maybe one of the bigger ones in Brazil that with 100 years since their founding. In any case, the shares rose 9% in extended trading. And if we just quickly wrap off the equities earnings here, the key one to watch today in the US is Home Depot. As you can see in the small insert there, we've gone from an absolutely roaring bull market in home improvement to a complete standstill. You can see here the next. So for the quarter that we're going to get the results from before the market opens, minus almost 2% on the top line, and then minus 1% and minus 0.5% in the next two quarters, respectively. So not a lot of growth any longer in that part of the economy.
All right. Really curious to see those big retail names, Target, and especially Walmart on Thursday. Walmart's so broad and such exposure to the consumer, anything they're seeing in terms of consumption patterns, stressed finances, et cetera, that'll be an interesting one to watch. Okay, so briefly, we have a ridiculous number of items on the macro calendar highlights, more data points than you can shake a stick at, but let's focus on a couple of these. The Canadian CPI is up today, and the retail sales is also up today. That's the next, probably the most important release of the week for the U.S. Again, a slightly soft number expected after quite tepid and weak February, March numbers, although this is month-on-month data, and we have this really crazy January leap in retail sales that was partially apparently on warm weather. So there was inevitably going to be some consolidation off of that. In any case, any big surprises could be interesting there. And we have the debt ceiling meeting. So this is the next best chance. It's well, there was a meeting last week that was intended to be, I think, on Friday, and that got canceled. And that meeting will take place today. We have just this, we're just in a gridlock here. We have a House Speaker whose entire position and ability to be the House Speaker is predicated on him, making himself a thorough pain on this issue and taking the fight to the wall. And that bill that the House got passed under his leadership passed so narrowly. It was at 216 to 214. So he can't afford to lose many votes. If he starts to compromise, he may get rebellion in the ranks. I just don't see what gives here. So I think the thing it would have to give would be a few members stepping in and some alternate plan, which is not afoot. So we have to watch for this, the signals, the degree to which this is getting punted once again. Apparently, there's some Senate GOP, so Senate Republicans that are in favor of some kind of softening up in their position, but McCarthy just doesn't seem to have any room to maneuver from my viewpoint, and the Biden White House will refuse to have anything to do with the measure that was passed by the House, which will never also pass the Democratic-controlled Senate anyway. So it's just a big mess. Maybe we get some signals, but I think more interestingly, we get a signal from the market, maybe the level of concern around this issue and the reaction function to it. So just stay tuned for that. Apparently set for afternoon Washington time. I don't have a specific time for that. Rest of the week is a G7 meeting in Japan. There's more noise about measures to act against China's so-called economic coercion. And there was even a UK public broadcaster apparently saying something without referring to actual sources, but along the lines of that it would open up some sort of way for countries that felt like they were being economically coerced to, so extending aid to these countries from the G7 point of view. So that's an interesting, I'm thinking of places, Peter, as we've talked about before, African countries where and even in Southeast Asia and elsewhere in Asia where we've seen extensive, for example, infrastructure projects that have gotten these countries into troubles in servicing the debt. And how that becomes what the U.S. has called debt diplomacy, and gets them into financial trouble. So the interesting, very interesting G7 meeting, and we'll hopefully have Stain at some point to discuss that once we get to the other side of it. But maximum confusion, but lots to look at, lots to consider in the next 24 hours here, and we'll see where things stand tomorrow with the next Saxo Market Call.
Thanks for listening. This has been the Saxo Market Call. For feedback and questions, reach out to us on Twitter at SaxoMarketCall or by email, marketcall@saxobank.com.